You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Hey guys, it's Awkward Sex in the City Day of the Week. I don't know if that makes sense. I don't care. I'm going forward. I overthink the intros a lot, and then I do them seven times, and it's just like, just fucking say whatever the fuck you want to say, Nelly. Like, what the fuck? Anywho, I'm not angry. That came off very angry. But today I was doing some, podcast work, because I'm unemployed and I get to do, like, creative stuff now. And I realized I hadn't done a solo episode in a hot second. We've had some really great guests. There will be more great guests to come. But before I do my solo ep, I do want to tell you guys something that's very exciting to me, for me, is I have my very first ever brand affiliate partnership with Ioba Toys. And it's really cool. And basically, I am an affiliate for one of their toys, the OMG Spot Massager. It's a very cool toy. It's a very great toy. When Aaron saw it, he was like, I can't wait to use this on you. And it's unique in that it doesn't vibrate, which is why it's silent. The pearl on the top is the only part that moves, which, fun fact, it's supposed to be for the G-spot. You can definitely use it in other places too, like your clit. And while I cannot personally attest, I have a feeling that this would work well for prostate sensations, orgasms as well. I don't know why I stumbled on that. But I think you could do prostate play with this as well. I stumble on prostate because I always want to say prostrate and I don't know why. So that is why I stumble on that word. Living my truth in front of you guys all day, every day. But that's why you come back. And so basically, because I am an affiliate, I get a code, a referral code, that yes, I do get money from if you buy from me, but you get 40% off. So it costs $159. I think it brings down the cost to about $95. And I am a very big believer in investing in good sex toys. As in my youth, I did not. Though I will say, RIP Chewy, you were an amazing $10 vibrator from Spencer's Gifts that honestly did last me very long. And the only reason it doesn't exist anymore is because when I was moving to college, I was so afraid I would forget which box or bag I put it in, and that would be the one that my father unpacked at JMU on move-in day. And so literally, they went out somewhere and I ran outside and threw it, not even just in the garbage in our kitchen. I threw it in the actual massive can outside and like threw like dirt over it. What I'm saying is I did Chewy wrong, okay? Chewy didn't deserve that. I had so many orgasms with that beautiful, bright orange, very loud Spencer's Gifts vibrator. I miss you to this day, Chewy, short for Chewbacca, because I thought it was funny. I wasn't the biggest fan of Star Wars back then. My friends thought it was funny, and I went with it. Could you tell that I wanted to do comedy when I grew up? I miss you every day, Chewy. But now, like, there are other sex toys in my nice little nightstand drawer that cost way more, or that I have received for free because of Awkward Sex in the City, which is also cool. So yeah, the referral code, the link is going to be in the description of this episode and further episodes after that, because I'm not going to say the website, because I have a very good feeling you are not going to pause and then write it down. It is in where you click to listen to this episode. Is it there? It is in Awkward Sex in the City's link tree. It is in my personal link tree, my personal Instagram link tree. If you know my personal Instagram, do you? It's great. It's a lot of fun. It's a different toy, and I'm very excited for the one that just basically like sucks on your clit. I think that is very important. Oh, it's called something. I'm not looking it up. I'm too lazy for you guys. Anywho, go check it out. iobatoys.com. Check out my actual referral code in the description of this episode. And one of the reasons why I wanted to do a solo episode is because October is like kind of a weird month for me. I can feel myself tensing up. And I know I've definitely talked about it on multiple episodes while they were happening about my migraines. And while the actual pain, like the actual headache, started at the end of December and actually on the second day of these really bad headaches, because I didn't know what they were yet. I actually thought it was like a really bad infection and that I was going to get meningitis and I was going to die. And the doctors that I saw were also like, yeah, this is an infection probably. And they gave me antibiotics and it did not work because it wasn't an infection. But on day two, I went to a Phish concert. I am not a Phish fan. Nothing against them, but the idea of standing for 4 hours straight is my worst nightmare. And basically what I learned that night is if I can get through 4+ hours with my head feeling as if it's going to explode in a Phish concert, I can get through labor. It was awful searing pain that I actually can't remember. I can't remember the sensation, which is good, obviously. I always find that very interesting about pain is like you remember the idea of pain, and maybe I'm speaking for you and then you're like, that's not true. So just for me, my experience with pain, I can remember the moment the pain came, the idea of being in pain, but I can't actually remember the actual pain itself. Even with like 5 months straight of headaches, like daily, every day, almost like all day, every day, I can tell you I understand the pain. I remember the pain. I don't understand or feel, or I can't like re-feel the pain, I guess. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Who cares? But before that, I think it actually started really in September. I started getting these like really weird dizzy spells is how I was describing them, though I myself did not feel dizzy. Actually standing up helps it go away. It more felt as if the world around me was spinning, almost as if I had like tunnel vision. And they happened at like scary moments. Like one time I was behind the wheel. Actually, a couple times I was behind the wheel. One time I was turning into Whole Foods and I just felt this like the tunnel vision. And I all of a sudden felt like my chest felt tight. Like I couldn't breathe. Like I felt like I was fainting, but I have fainted before and I didn't have any of the symptoms. You get like really, really nauseous before you faint. And it wasn't like that. It was very weird. And I had just like ran like a little bit too hard. And I actually have not run since this happened because I was like, oh, it's from the running. And I was talking to a friend and they were like, oh, you're probably just dehydrated. And that actually could be part of what made them occur. I do think, like, in retrospect, when I look at when I did have these specific days of dizzy spells, I was, I think, actually dehydrated and, like, very stressed out. Anywho, so it starts this journey with ENTs that would lead into neurology and, like, neurologists. But it also started my first actual real experience dealing with full body anxiety of what it really feels like in your body, what these, because these really could also, these dizzy spells could really be panic attacks. They could be migraines. My neurologist thinks that they are migraines and that they just evolved into head pain, because I've learned a lot about migraines since this. Headaches, head pain is just like one version of a migraine. You can get migraines in your stomach. You can get, I think it's called like, I can't remember what it's called, but you can get these migraines where there's absolutely no pain, but you're just like completely dizzy and you're like off kilter. And she was like, she thought that they were migraines that then switched to headaches. I don't know. I truly don't know. I kind of think it's a combination of the two. I think they were panic anxiety attacks on top of migraines. And the main one that really kind of triggered the anxiety happened in October. It happened October 24th. And so I can feel myself being like, was it environmental? Was it something? Because my sinuses all of a sudden for the first time in my life were like really fucked up. At least that's what I thought. It might not have been. It could have just been me making up symptoms in my mind, because the fun thing about me is I actually can make myself sick when I get very anxious. Real fun. Got that from my mom. But basically, I am bringing this up for multiple reasons. One is people are starting to experience, and have been since COVID started, have been experiencing a lot more headaches. Because headaches are a symptom of stress and anxiety. And so are migraines. I'm pretty sure for me, my trigger for migraines is like high stress. And that is where I was mentally and physically and emotionally last year, and probably for more than a year. I'm not sure when it started, but we'll get to that in a second. But people are getting diagnosed with migraines or tension headaches a lot now. And if you are, I just want you to know that there is light at the end of the tunnel. You can find how to manage them and how to make them disappear. And I'm saying this to you as someone who did not think that was possible while I was in this like 5 month reign of hell. It is possible. You have to be patient. You have to let it out. You have to cry. You have to succumb to the idea that it may not, you may not ever get back to the normal that you used to have. And you need to be really, really patient with the meds, with the ideas that they have to try to manage your pain. And that is asking a lot. And that's very scary, especially if you're in the middle of it, of this idea that you may never feel what you considered normal. Like, what is your new normal? That is what Aaron would tell me when I would just like break down in tears, like, I can't do this anymore. What is this? Like, what is this quality of life? And it taught me a lot about chronic pain too. And what is asked of people in chronic pain is ridiculous. Like I remember, because one of the first things they ask you, at least in my experience, everyone's experience is different. One of the first things that I was asked by my neurologist was, were my headaches so bad that I like left work, or that I called out of work or had to lie down? And I definitely had to lie down a lot, but I always worked through them, even though there was definitely one that was like so bad that I looked up, am I having a stroke? The pain was so fucking bad. And just, why do we do that to ourselves? Why do we not just say like, oh, we have to stop working? Because it's very unfair and it's very unhealthy, the work relationship we have, most of us, myself included. I was a very never call out of work person. with one family babysitting, I only called out once because I had a ridiculously awful kidney infection. And the doctor was like, yeah, your kidneys are shutting down. And so I like could not go into work. I had like a fever of like 105 or something. It was like very, it was a little touch and go for a second. Don't ignore symptoms, people with vaginas down there. If things are starting to really get crazy, just go, just go. Another reason I'm bringing up migraines because of like COVID, obviously. And if you are dealing with this, I would love to help you through it because it's very scary. It's very scary. Headaches are so overwhelming because it's in your fucking head, you know? Like, it's one thing to have like shoulder pain or like a pain in like your knee, but your head is just like so all consuming. A fun thing that I learned about migraines is that they happen way more often in women and like, you know, people with vaginas. So because of that, the amount of funding they get is abhorrent. I think it's like 30 million a year. So people actually don't know that much about migraines, like in the actual field. What I learned from my neurologist is migraines look different for everyone. Your migraines that you experience yourself can change, which mine did. If it happened to people with penises, there'd be billions of funding is what I'm saying. So there's a slow like pace to finding out more, I guess is what I'm saying. It is a neurological disease. It is considered a disability. It is the number two worst pain after, I think, back pain when it comes to chronic pain. So that's fun. And I actually had a friend who she also kind of started doing these daily headaches as well. And her doctor, who I think originally was a dude, I think she switched to a female doctor, was like, these are tension headaches. These are tension headaches. They're tension headaches. And then he even like prescribed her the same meds that I'm on, but told her to take them like incorrectly. Like you have to take it daily. Like I took my pill at 11 a.m. I took 10 milligrams at 11 a.m. And then at 6:30, I will take a 25 milligram pill. Do it twice a day, every day. He was like, take it as needed. And the new doctor was like, what? No, no, that's not how this works. Tension headaches happen more often in men. Migraines happen in people with penises. Migraines happen with people more, happen more often with people with vaginas. So that's also, you know, just like the sexism within, you know, this community that's supposed to take care of us and our bodies. And I really lucked out. My ENT was amazing and so patient with me. And listened to every complaint I had and every scare that I had and all of my fears. And at no point ever made me feel bad for feeling pain or for being scared and for asking for more tests and potentially like, you know, questioning her diagnosis, right? Her field. And then she recommended the neurologist that I have who, again, definitely a completely different bedside manner than my ENT, but just like fucking knew her shit, would not give up on finding me relief. I'm not used to that in the health field, the healthcare field when it comes to my pain. I had a doctor basically yell at me, a male doctor, for asking for an MRI on my knee. He told me it was a sprain. I was like, it's not a sprain. I know it's not a sprain. I've dealt with this. I've dealt with this in my left knee. And they were wrong then too and didn't want to do an MRI then too. And he literally was just like, oh, so you want an MRI? That's what you want? You want an MRI? And he just walked out. And then the PA or whatever was like, all right, I will schedule that MRI for you. And guess what? I was fucking right about my goddamn knee. Anywho, they suck. And even the PA was like, yes, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to prescribe you or a physical trainer or whatever. And then he never did. And I was like, I hate you all so much.
Hey guys, we're going to take a break to hear from a couple of ads, a couple of people. Maybe you like this stuff, maybe you don't, but getting paid while doing podcasting is really fucking cool. So thanks for sticking around.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
So the other reason why I wanted to bring up migraines is mental health. I am almost 100% sure that my migraines erupted from my body from years of swallowing shit, which is ironic because I will only swallow if I'm wasted. Like real life, if for any reason one day, why would you ever know that? I guess that's how Aaron always knows, right? It's like, I will swallow. Otherwise, I do this weird like thing. And I hate it. I hate it in my mouth. I hate it so much. The consistency is so gross. I gag usually. I actually have a really good joke on stage, but it only works if you can see my face. Not fun. That's so fun when she does that. And I was talking to my therapist. What just came out of my mouth? And I was talking about it with my therapist yesterday. Today's Tuesday. I do therapy on Mondays. And I was just kind of like, I wish I knew the timeline. Like I have a very vague idea of when this started because it definitely was for years. But for about like maybe 2 years, I didn't feel like myself anymore. And it's very hard to explain. You know, it was definitely like a combination of like depression and something else that I just totally dropped that sentence because I thought of something in my head. There was this meme that I saw the other day that was like, yeah, breakups are hard, but have you ever watched yourself become quieter and quieter as the years go by until a point where you can't even recognize yourself anymore? And that hit so fucking hard because that's exactly what it was. And it was just me swallowing a lot of stuff from my family, from friendships, from work. And it just built and built because fun fact, if you didn't know this already, you got to let that shit out. It's got to come out. It's got to be communicated. And I mean, Aaron was great throughout all of it. As I went through, I don't want to call it a phase. A phase feels so trivial. Going through this shit, like I could never figure out how to explain it to him. It was just like, it doesn't feel like me. It doesn't feel right. And he was always there and very supportive. And I don't know why it started. I don't know why I felt this need to be a peacekeeper and to be liked isn't the right word. I didn't care about being liked, but being very like amendable, being very adjustable. And I always have been a very adjustable is not the right word. I've been able to just like, blend in is also not the right word. Adaptable. Oh my God. The word she wanted was adaptable. I've always been very adaptable and I've always considered that a strength. And I think it comes from being a military brat of moving around a lot, knowing that things were going to change and that you don't have control over that and that you just got to go with it. So I've always been adaptable. Never thought that was a bad thing, but adaptability and amendability, being amendable to people's needs while, and like bending over backward for people while getting nothing in return is not healthy. That's not a healthy relationship. That's not a healthy friendship. That's not a healthy family relationship. And I was doing that a lot with my family. And I was doing that a lot with friends. And I was doing that a lot at work. A lot at work. I think work is what really, really kind of like screwed it over. And I was becoming toxic for other people around me because I wasn't listening to myself or taking care of myself. And then because of that, I wasn't really listening to other people and being there for people in the way that they needed. And a funny thing about swallowing a lot of shit is you lose your gut. You lose your gut instinct. You lose your idea of yourself. Your gut is very important. Your microbiome is very important. But it's true. Our gut is so important mentally and physically and emotionally, like truly. And so I watched it permeate through Awkward Sex in the City, the podcast, and like the show. I wasn't trusting my instincts anymore. I was letting everyone make these decisions that I was like, and in no way did these people have bad intentions. Like, absolutely not. They actually had the best of intentions for me, but it wasn't the right fit. And because of that, I personally think that the show and the podcast suffered. And myself suffered because I watched my art and my vision and my productions not look like what I thought they needed to look like. It's wild. It's wild. I don't know how to explain it. And I hate that it took physical pain to start the journey out. Like, I hate that I hurt my body so badly that my body finally just kind of rejected the notion of me swallowing anymore and taking and doing for everyone else around me. And it's like, no, you are forced to deal with this. You're forced to deal with your body right now. And so maybe that's happening to you too. I don't know. It permeates into everything. I mean, there was a point where I thought it was an aneurysm and I was afraid to have sex because I thought I would have an aneurysm. I know. It's so dumb. I hope you're laughing at me. Aaron would be like, Natalie, I'm a huge hypochondriac. And Aaron was like, Natalie, you're not going to die from an orgasm. Like, you're not, at least not right now. And I get it from my mom. My mom's a huge hypochondriac too. And when the headaches, okay, so let me backtrack. When the headaches started, I also started Whole 30. And so like on day two or day three of Whole 30, I had the worst hangover, the worst headache of my life. And it could have been from like withdrawing with no sugar in my body and being dehydrated. I don't know. I have not had a headache that bad ever and since then, even if that was the beginning of these daily migraines. So I do think Whole 30 was a part of it. And I think you guys remember my podcast episodes during that journey. It sucked. The episode with Carolina and Carolina and Marie Faustin. I almost called her Reezy because that's her Instagram name. I had not slept. Like, I literally did not sleep that night because the day before was the day after the worst headache of my life. And I immediately went to my ENT and was like, please see me. And I was going to see her the next day, the day that after I recorded with Carolina and Marie. And I called my mom, freaked out. I wanted to hear my mom just go like, you're going to be okay. Everything's fine. But she was like, oh. And she actually apologized later for this. She's like, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. But my grandmother, the one that died that I last year that had to deal with like a lot of grief, had a brain tumor behind her eye. And then on the phone with my mom, as I'm waiting for her to like comfort me, she was like, oh yeah, and your great grandfather died of a brain tumor too. And I was like, what? And then I had to go because someone for the family came, like needed me basically. And she was like, I'm so sorry I did that. Like I was going to be like, but they're not related. Brain tumors are very rarely genetic. Very rarely. And even these two brain tumors, my grandmother and then her father's weren't the same because hers was benign and his was not benign. And he was very, very old, much older when it happened. And brain tumor, don't Google. I'm telling you right now, if you're having headaches, daily headaches, do not fucking Google. I can tell you right now, it is almost 100% most likely not a brain tumor because brain tumor symptoms aren't usually headaches. It's actually more like you're forgetting stuff. It's more neurological. You sometimes may have headaches. I don't want to discount that. It is possible, but it most likely is not. And truly, I went to my ENT crying after this episode with Carolina and Marie. And I was so thankful that they were doing the episode because I was like, I know this will be a good episode because they are so funny. And even if I literally am on no sleep and I'm so scared of this appointment, I know this will still be good because of how funny and talented they are. And it was still a good, talented, and funny episode. I literally was like crying to this ENT. And I was just like, I think I'm dying. And she literally was like, you know what? I do not think it's a brain tumor, but why not get an MRI so we can make you feel better? When the fuck has a doctor ever said that to you? Like, I'm still like in shock. And I think I came when she said that. She actually, I haven't seen her in since January, I think, that's not true. I had to get a CT scan, a CAT scan, and she was the one to do it. So I haven't seen her since like March or April. But I was on sittercity.com like a month ago being like, oh, let's see what babysitting jobs are out there. And she was looking for a nanny. I was like, wait, I know that name. And then I clicked on it and saw her picture and was like, oh my God, I love you. I want to do anything for you. And then I was like, let's not do this, Natalie. Let's not put yourself in a position like that, of just like all of a sudden giving all of yourself to someone because they did their job. They did their fucking job. Anywho, I love this ENT. If you are in New York City and you need an ENT, just message me. She's amazing. Love her so much. She has no clue. Someone is talking about her right now. And she's probably just looking up someone's nose. So sweet. Also, was kind of ready for the COVID test because with the terrible headache, she was like, well, let's just make sure there's not a blockage in your sinuses. So she had to stick a camera up my nose, much like the COVID test. And it was up there for a long time. But she gave me this like numbing. She gave me this like numbing spray. So it was a little bit easier. But then the numbing spray was just like in me for a long time, like in my mouth. And I had to go that day. I remember that day very vividly because it was just like such a clusterfuck of a day because after that I had a show. I had an Awkward Sex and City show and I was just like such a goddamn mess on that show. What a fun trip down memory lane for me. Anywho, the moral of the story is we are all very stressed right now because of COVID, because of the election, because of everything that's happening, because of rising cases, because of unemployment, because of the state of the economy. Even the economy is fake. We've literally just made it up on ourselves. Everyone's stressed. Everyone's scared. So what are you doing to like protect your mind, body, and soul? And not protect, but just like to help it. Again, if you are experiencing migraines and you cannot see an ENT, you cannot see a doctor, there's obviously many reasons why that could be a possibility. Yoga is really good. I don't know why. And even like in the things that I've read about it, they're like, we don't know why it's good, but it is. And it definitely helps my headaches. And I'm not a yogi. I'm at the very beginning of like of my journey with yoga. I am very weak. I am not flexible. I still struggle with aligning everything with the breath. It's a journey, right? It's just getting on the mat, taking that time out for yourself, learning to kind of relax and decompress. And I think that's a big part with migraines of like learning to not tense up. I had a little bit of a pressure today. Wasn't pain, but just pressure where there has been pain in the past, which could sometimes mean that a migraine's coming. And then I was like, oh, it's because you actually worked out a little too hard yesterday. I did a lot of arm stuff yesterday, and I've noticed if I'm tense and I'm not relaxed in my shoulders, then I get pain the next day. Take note, be aware. Yoga, totally. Meditation. I do the Calm app. It's $75 a year. It is expensive. I do like it. I think Headspace might be free right now. Check out Headspace. I always liked Headspace too. I did Calm for their sleep meditations because in that time I was not sleeping well, which also another thing that could be contributing to headaches or migraines. Magnesium. I take 400 milligrams a night. It helps with anxiety and it helps relax your body. So you can sleep better. All of these things. I guess like, I think in my 30s, it's like kind of learning how connected our actions are to our body, mind, and soul. That's gross. But you get what I'm saying. You get the gist of just like how much it's connected, what we're putting in our bodies. And that's not to be like, eat clean. Just being like aware of like, oh, maybe like learning this year, like, oh, Natalie, every time you eat sour cream, you get diarrhea. And so like this year, I actually like gave up sour cream, which I thought I never would. And I just replaced it with hot sauce. And I was like, oh, this is great. Even though completely different consistencies, completely different outcomes to what it's doing to your meal. It was just the, in my 20s, I would have ignored it and be like, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. In my 30s, it's like, no, this is actually affecting you negatively. Let's see what happens if you take it out. Yeah, so let's bring it all the way back around. I can feel in New York, everyone's getting like a little tense again. Everyone is afraid of what the second wave might be. We've got these like hot clusters, these hot spots, these clusters of neighborhoods that are like have positivity rates in like at like 10%, 7%, 5.3%. It's been a little scary watching. Because Cuomo and de Blasio are doing their like dick measuring contest. And the last time this happened, people died. So numbers are rising, hospitalizations are rising. October already for me was like, I do this thing where I'm like, well, am I just on that day, on October 24th, am I going to get a dizzy spell again? And maybe I do. And that's kind of what I've been telling myself. It's like, maybe you do get a dizzy spell again. But now, like, now you know, like, you've been through it. It feels weird and you don't like it and your body feels weird. You now have these tools in place. You are actively going to therapy. I used to be a counselor. I used to be bad about counseling because I'd be tired. But now with teletherapy, we talk on the phone every Monday at 5:15. I always say the same thing. I'm like, hi, how are you? And she's like, I'm well. How are you? How are things? And I'm like, oh, they're good. All things considered. And then she always laughs when I say all things considered. It's so always the same. But yeah, I guess as we go into the winter, I think we might have to relearn some of the things we did to keep ourselves calm in April and May, in March, April and May. And it also depends on what state you're in. You know, cases are rising in almost every state. I think Houston is going into their like literal third wave of this. I think the idea of a second and third wave is very scary. Watching what Trump did with COVID, all of us watching with bated breath. What did my therapist say? She was like, "While I do not wish death on anyone, it would be great if he just was gone." I was like, "Ooh, savage, Dr. Eve." That made her laugh. I like making her laugh. Get your flu shot. New York is taking it very seriously, which I like. I don't remember if I talked about this. I think I talked about this in an episode that I actually ended up scratching. I went and got my flu shot and a COVID test like 2 weeks ago. And there's places in New York where you can just go to get the swab up your nose and nothing else. I wouldn't be able to get a flu shot there. So I went to like an urgent care and they had already run out for that time being. Like they're just waiting for more. Like if you are in New York City, you can definitely still get the flu shot. Some places just might be out for a week or something. So I ended up going to like a Duane Reade, which is a Walgreens, like literally anywhere else, because I think Walgreens bought Duane Reade. It's a Rite Aid. It's a CVS, basically. But it doesn't take my insurance. Duane Reade does not take my insurance. Walgreens does not take my insurance. Once Walgreens bought it, I think, because Duane Reade used to take my insurance. So I used to live right across the street from a Duane Reade, and I'd get my birth control there. I'd pop that pill. And that's another reason why I got the IUD. I was like, I cannot go to the fucking Duane Reade every month for my birth control. I find those types of chores like debilitating for some reason. Not like I can't do them. I'm just like, but I just want to be on the couch and watch The Hills, which is what I was watching before. I recorded this episode. Do you guys like when you hear like the little things, like the mundane things about me? I don't know. I don't know if it's important or not, but oh, hey, there's another plane. Who's flying? That's what I don't know. Who the fuck is flying? Aaron says he's not getting on a plane until there's a vaccine. I'm definitely in the same camp of just like, I would like a vaccine, or that like this didn't exist anymore. Like it's mutated down to a normal flu. But long story short, I went to Duane Reade because I was like too lazy to go to a CVS, which takes my insurance. And I paid out of pocket. So if you have to pay out of pocket, it's I think $41.99, $42. And there was a line in there. There was a line for specifically the the flu shot. Guy in front of me was probably in his 20s. Girl behind me was in their 30s. So like my age group is taking it seriously. Thank you. We'll see what we can do. Long story short, I wanted this episode to be like, listen to your body. If you're not happy, that is one, okay. And if you can't explain why you're not happy, I think that's very, very normal. And if you were like me, you just fixated on that you couldn't figure out why you were unhappy. And I just don't think that's how the process goes. I think it's more you are unhappy and then you just try to see what does make you happy and see what brings things out of you, rather than being like finding the source of why you're unhappy. You'll figure it out later. Like I said, I don't know. I can't pinpoint the moment, but I know the things that I was doing and why I was doing them and how that affected me so badly to it created physical pain in my body. And just learning how to listen to it and take care of it in a much different way. You know, 20s was getting shit-faced, hungover, going to work, eating whatever. And not to be like, we should all be on a diet. I don't mean that. And I don't even mean like intuitive eating. I mean just being aware of like what is physically hurting your body. Like I don't work out to lose weight anymore. That was like the only reason I ever work out. I work out now to like decompress and literally take care of my brain. And it's just different, right? It's just different. It hits different. It slaps different. And that's important. Right now, in COVID, it is very important that you're listening to yourself and your body. I feel like I'm lecturing you. I don't mean to. Honestly, when I talk that sternly, I'm like literally just talking to myself, like, Natalie. Like, it's crazy to feel mentally where I felt in my 20s. Very hopeful, very in love with the creative stuff that I do. Very happy. I haven't felt this type of like genuine happiness for myself, like within myself, about myself in a long time. Because like other things definitely did make me happy. Aaron made me happy throughout that. Friends made me happy throughout that. Parts of Awkward Sex and City made me happy throughout it. But there was definitely like these blind spots. There was definitely these like dark spots that I was confused by and was missing. And so again, I'm telling you all this as not to lecture you or to judge you, just as like an example of the journey, and that if you are finding yourself within this, there is, whether it's actual migraines or some type of pain, physical ailment, if it is more emotional and mental, if it's all three, like mine was all three, there just really is like light at the end of the tunnel. And your journey won't look like mine. Mine won't look like yours, and yours won't look like your friends, and mine won't look like my friends. And sometimes the journey is painful, and you're going to cry, and it's going to hurt, and it's going to look different than what you thought it would. And maybe different people are going to show up, different people are going to leave. But that feeling of like that type of happiness back in your life is just very empowering and very powerful. And I hope you get there. I actually started masturbating a lot too to get back there. She had to find a way to bring in sex. Everything permeates into each other. Like everything the light touches is yours, you know? Like, so when there are these dark spots, and when there is this type of blindness like inside of you, I don't know if that makes sense, it does affect your sex life, and it does affect your personal life, and it affects your personal friendships, and it affects how you talk about yourself and others. It affects how you think about your dreams and the possibility of them, and what your worth is within the world, and what you bring to the table, and not like in a work environment, just like in general, in life, like what you do personally, how you make people feel. Like, I think I talked about with Jessica Henderson, like I learned, or I've just always wanted my work, my art, my creative pursuits to make people feel better about themselves, which is why I do very vulnerable storytelling. Sure, like sex sells and sex is funny, but people don't talk about it in such a like empowering yet very vulnerable, very intimate way. And then I had a friend actually the other day who we'd been talking about, she'd been really struggling getting her libido back to where she wanted it to be. And she was talking about how, like, her therapist was like, no one ever talks about this. And it's like, yeah, no one ever talks about when you're not having sex. No one ever talks about why you're not having sex. Stress is like one of the number one libido killers out there. And so again, I know I talked about this in other episodes, you are very likely very stressed right now. And if you don't have the urge to have sex as much as you used to, that is probably it. So learning how to de-stress and learning how to not put too much pressure on your libido or on yourself or on your partner. And she, this friend, she actually texted me, was just like, I had sex 3 times this week. So people should know, like, there is light at the end of the tunnel. It is possible to get back to where you want to be, or even get to a place that you didn't think was possible, and now here you are. I talked about my libido. I lost it. March and fucking April. What? I don't even. It was rough. I just think that I just think that the more vulnerable I can be for you on these solo episodes, especially, and with my guests, I do have very intimate conversations with people that some people I haven't even met until the recording. And it's very, I will say, the thing that I really miss about being in a studio is the intimacy of being in a studio. It's way easier for me personally to kind of feel what my guest needs from me when we're like face to face. I don't know if that makes sense. It's a little bit harder via remote. I mean, we do like Zoom, we do Google Hangouts, like I can see the people, but it's just not the same. So I don't know if that feels different for you guys as you listen. And I don't know if these solo episodes feel different from the guest episodes, because I know what I need, right? While I'm doing these, I almost always have a reason why I'm doing a solo episode. There's something that I was like, I would like to talk about this, because I do think it could make people feel better. Even if it's very intimate details of my life, including what I was watching right before I recorded this, which was The Hills on my Roku Fire Stick in our bedroom. Because I don't think you can watch The Hills like on demand, at least with Verizon. I don't think you can. That's what I have. I have Fios. I know, humble brag. That was like one of the biggest selling points of our apartment. It was like, we could get Fios. I'm going to leave it at that. This again was a longer episode. They're always way longer than I thought they were going to be. I thought this was going to be like a 20-minute episode. Wash your hands, wear your mask, get your flu shot. Find the things that make you feel warm and fuzzy. Not all at once. It's a journey. I will say what really helped me, aside from this like very long break from day jobs, that saved me so much, was also truly finding, going back to things that I remembered as a child made me very happy. So that it was reading. Getting back to a place where I was devouring books, like not just reading one book a month, but just like plowing through them. And like, so that is back where I am, where I just like devour books. I cry. I cry after every book I read right now, because I'm so happy that I'm like reading this much again. I literally will like hug my book and be like, I love you, and cry. I did it yesterday. I finished Vanishing Light yesterday. The Vanishing Light. No, oh my God, The Vanishing Half. I always call it The Vanishing Light. And even I called like a bookstore and they're like, the what? The Vanishing Half. I finished it yesterday. Very good book. Highly recommend. By Britt Bennett. I want to get her first book, Mothers, now. But I was like, I finished reading it while Arian was watching a scary movie, and we were like on the couch together, and I like started crying. I was like, I don't feel like explaining this one to him, because I cry so much. Like, anything makes me cry. I like crying, though. I love crying. Can you hear the plane? There's another fucking plane. That's the other thing I miss about the studio, is you don't hear the fucking planes. I guess if you are there, if you're feeling a little lost, a little sad, go back to the beginning. Go back to what made you happy in elementary school, in middle school, in high school. Maybe they're all the same thing. Mine was reading. I guess allow yourself to feel vulnerable enough with yourself to admit you miss these things. I think sometimes that's part of it too, of being like, oh, I'm an adult now. I don't have time for these things. That doesn't mean you can't miss them or still want to do them. I feel like it's easy to lose like our youthful outlook on life and dreams and ourselves. And I think in a lot of times, it's a very important way to think and to be, even in our 30s or 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s. And just, I mean, also what's helped me is letting go of this idea that like I had to get to a certain place in my 20s. The actual effect of not getting to a certain place in my 20s, I think is probably one of the greatest things that happened. Learning to like enjoy the journey a little bit more. I know I hate that whole like not all who wander are lost. I hate that. If that is tattooed on you, I'm judging you right now. But I guess just kind of like letting go a little bit. Okay, I'm done lecturing you guys. Wash your hands. Wear your masks. Be very nice to anyone in customer service. Tip over 20% if you are eating out or takeout or anything like that. Get your flu shot. Like, subscribe. Patreon. Share with your friends. And I will talk to you guys next week. I love you guys, sincerely. I really do. Just in case you haven't heard that today. Thank you.